Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to invite Tyler up here today. I want to welcome all of you to Open Arms Community Church. And I want to introduce to you Tyler Thompson. Tyler is a part of our church family here. I've known Tyler for quite a while, but not since he was a baby, although I think he popped out of the womb being a wrestler. So Tyler has been a friend of our family, and it's a privilege to have him share today. I just want to give you a quick introduction to why I had Tyler up here is, so Tyler shared at his graduation ceremony the message, a similar message, it's been modified just a little, a similar message to his classmates, and I thought that the wisdom that was found in it was so profound, and something that I think every one of us needs to hear, young and old alike. And so if you're older today, don't tune out that we've got a young kid up here. And if you're younger today, pay attention. The scripture says that we are not to allow anyone to look down on us because we are young, but we are to set an example for the believers. And I think you're going to see that in Tyler today. So I'm not going to belabor anything further, but would you welcome Tyler and thank him for joining us?
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Well, good morning. As Mike said, my name's Tyler Thompson. I've been a part, I've started attending Open Arms Community Church for a little over 2 years now. And about 2 months ago, I was blessed to be given the opportunity to address my peers at the class of 2018 graduation. Afterwards, Pastor Mike had reached out to me and asked that I share my message. And I'm honored to be here today and, you know, be able to share my thoughts on failure. So it was kind of funny, you know, I'm standing up at this huge graduation ceremony. Everyone's, you know, celebrating, giving encouraging words, and, you know, I get up there to address my peers, and I'm like, hey, you're all going to fail. So, but, you know, failure is something that I personally have become an expert on, you know, over 18 years. So, So before I do this, though, I would first like to define success, because you can't really fail if you don't have a standard that you're trying to meet to fail at. So without a proper understanding of success, you're never going to really understand failure. So in general, dictionary definition, success means the accomplishment or fulfillment of a certain goal, standard, or expectation. However, this is only like a broad definition. Success can have a variety of different meanings depending on what goals you personally are trying to meet. So everyone in this room has a different way that they define success. So is success having money, an attractive girlfriend, big house, popular social status? To some people, yes, but in reality, this is a very distorted perspective on success. Because materialistic success has no worth in the long run. 1 Timothy chapter 6:7 says, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it." We're not in this world to build a home here. This place is temporary. This flesh is temporary. But we're here to build a home in heaven. So how then should we as Christians view success? Well, Jesus gives us his outlook on success in the parable of the talents. Matthew 14 through 28 says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more." His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even if they have, will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So in this parable, a master gives varying amounts of money to 3 servants depending on their abilities. So that's important. Each servant didn't get the same amount of money. The master gave each servant varying amounts depending on what he thought they could handle. So the first 2 servants are faithful, and they double their master's money during his absence. In turn, they are rewarded graciously upon his return. The last servant lacked faith and did nothing with his money. He was afraid, and in turn, he was punished. This parable reveals many truths about God's expectations for us to succeed as Christians. We each have a mission that God expects us to accomplish here on earth. We are to work diligently, using our unique, God-given talents to glorify him and prosper his kingdom. It's important to notice that God equips each of us with everything we need to do what he has called us to do. Each of the servants were given different amounts of money. We're not all created equal. However, the third servant could have pleased his master with 1 bag of money, just as the servant with 5 bags of money had he decided to have faith and be productive with what his master had given him. Secondly, the parable reveals that we are to serve our master dutifully and that we will be held accountable for our actions. A common lie that many of us tend to tell ourselves is that we can be anything we want to be if we put our mind to it. And this is false. Some things are just not possible for certain people because it is not God's plan for your life. Is that you failing in life? Yes and no. So are you failing at achieving your expectations? Absolutely. But are you failing at accomplishing God's plan for your life? Not necessarily. We need to accept our own limitations and focus on pursuing what God has given us. We as Christians need to measure our success not by the standards of this broken world, but by God's standards. In everything we do, we need to ask ourselves whether or not our actions meet God's expectations for the life we are called to lead. Are we living a life like Jesus, or do our actions reflect selfish, flesh-driven interests? In whatever we do, are we doing it to glorify God? So, what does it look like to be spiritually successful in God's eyes? The answer to this question can be summed up in one word: righteousness. To be righteous means to be all one ought to be. In other words, you're to have a right relationship with God, with people, with the world, and with yourself. So, how do you live a righteous life? Well, God gave us an instruction book right here, kind of like a roadmap to success. We call it the Bible, but if everything that we need to succeed in life is in here, this is how we should live. And if we follow it, we will be successful. But in reality, none of us are perfect. If we were, we wouldn't be here. And therefore, all of us will fail. Everyone in this room has encountered setbacks in their life and will continue to do so. However, many of us try to avoid failing or offer excuses for our lack of success. We live in a society where failure is not an option, which has cultivated a fear of failure. In fact, we've become so focused on not failing that we fail to aim for success or righteousness. We settle for less because we operate under the mindset that we cannot fail if we never attempt anything great. Looking back at this statement, we settle for less than, as Mike said many times, it means sin. You're missing the bullseye. So we settle for a life of sin because we operate under the mindset that we can't fail if we never attempt anything great. And this begins to blind us from our fullest potential and prohibit us from overcoming our obstacles. Thomas Edison once said, "I didn't fail 1,000 times." The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. The light bulb wasn't a first-time success, but an accumulation of failures. This applies to our lives as well. We need to be resilient to pick ourselves up after we fail. Perseverance is one of failure's greatest lessons. James 1:2-4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." When you fall, and we all will, we need to have the strength to overcome. That is the key to failing successfully. If you fail and never overcome, where is your growth? Where are you maturing? Failure is ultimately a stepping stone to success. Had Thomas Edison failed for the 999th time and given up, we may have never have had the light bulb. So will you fail and overcome, or will you fail and surrender? For those of you who know me, I'm a very anxious person. I worry about everything. I'm not joking. There's a reason why I have the start of a receding hairline before I graduated high school. For example, I got a new job this summer working at Georgia Pacific. So this is a great opportunity for me, right? I just graduated high school. I'm headed off to college and am broke, like most 18-year-olds. But instead of praising God for this new job opportunity, I worried for weeks about what shift I was going to get. I do this with everything. I worry. Instead of having faith that God will provide, I worry. I was not putting my faith in God. In other words, I was failing at trusting God. This one quality of mine not only hindered me as an individual, but it began hurting relationships with people that I loved. I mean, when I'm worrying about everything, I tend to be a negative person. I come upstairs to talk with my mom, and, you know, we're trying to have a good conversation, and all of a sudden, boom, I'm just talking about everything I'm worrying about in life, and nothing good. And, you know, she's like, "Will you quit your complaining, you know, and be grateful for what I have?" And I became truly imprisoned by my anxiety. I let my worry control certain aspects of my life instead of God. I was surrendering to anxiety. So what needed to happen? A God-sized change. The definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over again and expecting a different result. For years, I was living a life of insanity. Until you decide to change, you'll continue living a life paralyzed by the same failures and receiving the same results. So, how do you change? The first step to change is to accept your failure. You need to own it, and you need to commit to fail. So many times do people fail, and then they just give excuses for their failure. And excuses is just another way of shifting the blame off yourself. So in order to change, you need to accept, okay, I have failed. What am I going to do about it? The next step, once you've accepted your failure, the next step to change is repentance. And I'm not talking, "Oh, I'm sorry." Just a real lighthearted sorry, and then going back and doing the same things that you were before. You can ask my mom. I won't do my chores. She'll come downstairs. I get yelled at. "Oh, I'm sorry." You know, trying to avoid the whole grounding situation. And then I don't do them the next day. No change. You know, so many times do people say, "I'm sorry," and repent to God, and then use that as an excuse to, "Okay, I repented. Now, this week, I'm going to live the same life, and I'm going to do the same failures, and then I'll repent next weekend." So, after you repent, it needs to be a genuine repentance. The next step to change is to recognize. You need to recognize where you are failing at and why you are failing. In other words, you need to identify your weaknesses. And after you identify those weaknesses, the final step to change is you need to capitalize on those weaknesses. You need to strengthen where you're weak at in order to change. So currently, I'm reading a book called You'll Get Through This by Max Lucado. It's a great book, and one of the biggest takeaways I've had from this book thus far is that God can be looked at as a master weaver. When Satan weaves intended evil in our life, God reweaves it into something good. When we fail, there are three forces in this world that can cause storms to happen. They can also cause failures to happen. And that is God, Satan, and people. And 90% of the time, it's not God causing you to fail, it's people and Satan. So when Satan weaves intended evil in your life, God can reweave it into something good. But the problem with this is that we need to let God do the reweaving. If we stay content in our own comfort zone of failure, we will never change. You need to trust in God, follow him, and he will kick down the walls of your prison and get you through your struggles. As an athlete, I've experienced failure. In fact, my wrestling season this year was defined by defeat. So coming into the season, I had high expectations for myself. I'm, you know, a senior. I wanted to leave the high school with a lasting impression. And I was projected to win my district and region and place pretty high at the state level. But you can only imagine how I felt after not losing once, but three times during the regular season. to athletes in my district. I went from being confident in myself to broken in a matter of 3 6-minute matches. There I was, the last wrestling season of my life, and I began to doubt myself. I had two options: run from defeat or learn from it. I chose the second option. In the weeks leading up to districts, I took those three matches and used them to fuel my training rather than hurt it. Now, imagine the pride I had in myself when I defeated each of those three wrestlers to qualify for states. I overcame, and in doing so, my character grew. I matured. Those three failures taught me a life lesson: the importance of never giving up on yourself. I realized that as much as we like to focus on winning, losing is just as much a part of the game, so we need to accept it. We will all experience hard loss in life. Maybe you failed an important test. Maybe you didn't get the job you applied for. Or maybe a relationship didn't turn out the way you wanted. These are setbacks, yeah, but they're not excuses for you to give up. It's not the failure that matters. What matters is what you decide to do with that failure. How you react when you fail is what ultimately decides whether you will stay struggling in a pit of despair and brokenness or emerge a stronger individual. So today, I encourage you to become fearless. Do not confine yourself within the limits of failure, rejection, and judgment. Lest it be true of us, as the Proverbs say, a dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to its wallowing in the mud. In life, it's necessary to fail. If you don't fail, how will you ever know what is needed to succeed? Instead, learn from these obstacles. With every failure, we gain an experience. Learn from these opportunities to provide for a better future. Your failures will set the stage for what you can do differently tomorrow. It is through these lessons we learn from defeat that we ultimately reach success. For most of us, our greatest fears are that we are unprepared to face the challenges that lie ahead of us. I have come to realize failures succeed. These challenges in life are the things that are preparing us. Hebrews 12:7 says, "Endured hardship is discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father?" So I'd like to close this morning with a final warning. This will not be easy. It won't be painless. Failure hurts. That's just a reality. Nobody likes to fail. Will God promise to take away all your struggle and replace it with strength? Not in this life. But will he reweave your failures for higher purpose? Absolutely. Do not live a life in fear of failure. Embrace failure. Learn from it and overcome it. Failure can either be your teacher or your undertaker, your prison or your blessing. Thank you.
Jim? Thank you, Tyler. Isn't this awesome? So, you know, again, young people, Scripture says don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers. And I think Tyler's doing that today, and I'm really proud of him. Would you thank him again for joining us? So let's embrace the lessons that failure brings us. Amen? Amen. Well, at this time, we are going to end our time together by continuing to worship the Lord in our tithes and our offerings, the honoring God with our wealth. And as we do that, I'd like you to get your offering out and get it in your hand, because this is your act of worship. So we do not mindlessly just throw money in a bucket as it goes by. This is you being very purposeful and intentional in honoring the Lord with your wealth. This is one of your ways of worshiping God according to Scripture and putting Him first in your life. So with your offering in your hand, would you pray this prayer with me together as a church? Say, in Jesus' name, I honor the Lord with my wealth to say thank you, to show my love and my loyalty and my faith in putting Jesus first, that He will meet my every need and make me a blessing in every way. Please multiply the use of every penny given to advance your kingdom and reach more people with the love and truth of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.